one guy met his date for the first time, and he's like, "Your eyes are really red. Are you stoned?" That was his opening.
Check, please. That's somebody else. Nurse, I need a full bottle of wine.
You know, so I'm just saying people don't even know what to do.
I bet that woman was glad she had her diaphragm in, because that definitely was going to be a good evening for her.
This is Thanksgiving, the musical. It's not the casual they miss. If you want culture, go fuck yourself. That is not what this is.
Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Like, there are a few times in my life where I can say I have been totally speechless.
Oh, yeah.
Like, not even in a, like, a, like, it sounds corny.
Yeah.
But I, like, I just didn't know what to say.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe it.
What happened?
Okay.
Tell us the story. This is, I can't wait to hear this.
Thanksgiving special.
Yes.
Everybody,
happy Thanksgiving.
So, basically, over the weekend, a friend of mine and I, we took our minivan and we went out to the suburbs of New Jersey, deep into the suburbs,
deep
into Bergen County.
Mm-hmm.
We were all up in Paramus. Some place called, like, Waldwick or something like
you
that.
You know what? Yeah, that's... I know Waldwick.
Waldwick.
Waldwick is very close to my hometown of Mahwah.
We were all over the place. And so we're going around to these neighborhoods. And it's interesting. I mean, you know New Jersey well. Katie's
yes.
from New Jersey.
Yes.
I had never seen the suburbs like this.
Oh, you have
so
not.
You
okay.
go through, like, modest suburbs of, like, regular, you know, normal, everyday working class,
mm-hmm.
middle class Americans. And then you go to, you know, a little bit nicer suburbs. And then you go into, everyone has a Tuscan castle.
Yes.
Across the street from a style of home that I can only refer to as New Jersey Tudor.
Yeah.
There's also New Jersey Rococo. Like, everything.
Yeah.
These gigantic houses with a three-story, like, fronts.
Yes.
Like, gigantic fronts. So anyway.
We called them mini mansions when they started going up.
But they're
up.
Not mini.
Yes, I know. That was... And then they were the McMansions, because they all kind of looked the same. But it was, this whole thing shifted from your regular colonial
or split level
or something to these big monstrosity houses with a great room and a bonus room and all kinds of things happening.
Well, apparently they're all for sale.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if people overbuilt or mm-hmm. if these were, like, speculative things or whatever. So we're going around from place to place, going to the suburbs, riding around, and then we see a mailman crossing the street. And we're like, oh, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a wider street, maybe
yeah.
like two lanes on each side. Because it's the suburbs, but it's like a little further out in the country,
yeah,
right?
It's more, yeah, okay.
So we see this guy. And then
it's
like
a development.
Yeah, it's like a little development.
Yeah.
But not, yeah, it's more, there's a lot of space. So we see a mailman coming, and we're like, okay, mailman's crossing. And then we notice he's like hot-footing it.
Oh, no.
Then he's running full speed towards the little, like, mail truck that he has. And three turkeys were chasing him. And the guy was only about, like, maybe 5 foot something, like,
oh,
a little bit taller
no.
than me. The turkeys were, like, 3 feet tall. They were running ahead. And then we saw him, about, he had, like, a stick or something, and he was fighting them off, like, on guard. And they were chasing him at, like, full speed. We couldn't believe what we were seeing. Like, we stopped the car. We watched what was happening. We had trouble processing it because I had never seen a turkey.
Yeah.
Like that.
They're big and they're mean out
these
there.
These are not
and
the round butterball turkeys that people flash fry.
That are cute.
These things are tall.
They're not like the outline of your hand.
Yeah, they're not like the outline of the hand. The body is sleek.
Yeah.
They look like an emu or something, and they were hustling it.
Yeah.
There were three of them, and they were pissed.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. They're wild, and they have that great mix of being aggressive and stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they chased this guy across the street. They chased him around his vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
And then he finally was able to get into the vehicle, and then he took off.
Yeah.
So I immediately start Googling, because I was like, is this something that happens in New Jersey? And sure enough, it happens quite a bit.
Yeah, it does. And people get trapped in their cars, because the turkeys will come walking by and see the reflection in the chrome or something shiny in
and
the
attack
car.
The car?
And attack the car thinking that it's another turkey.
So for the rest of the day, my friend and I were terrified every time we pulled up to like an estate sale.
Yeah.
Because we're not large women.
Yeah.
The turkey, like we're not tall.
And they'll get you too.
And so we were, every time we stopped, we were looking for turkeys. And I was like, we don't even have a stick in here. We don't have anything. So the next time I go to New Jersey for these yard sales, I'm definitely going to carry something. So a cane, a stick, or something I could fight them off with. So I did a little research, of course, being the nerd that I am. And I found this article from 2 years ago. Now, apparently this time of year, so we're in September, or into October, is mating season.
Okay.
And that's when they get in New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's mating season in New Jersey for turkeys, and they get aggressive. So I found this article, apparently, in Teaneck a couple years ago. This woman said that she was they came upon some turkeys. She grabbed her children and they ran for their lives because they were terrified. So they were sitting, this is Miss Courtney Lupshinsky. I love that name. Lupshinsky. Said she was sitting at her kitchen table a few weeks ago with two of her children when they spotted a few turkeys on the neighbor's roof. And then all of a sudden they flew through the window. We were covered in glass. The turkey was covered in mud, water. It was flapping everywhere. So this turkey hurled itself off their neighbor's roof. It probably saw its reflection.
Yeah.
Into her dining room.
Like, I'm going to get you.
And so they had to book it. Apparently at the local synagogue, people have said that they're trapped in their cars when they come to worship. They can't get out because they're surrounded by turkeys. And they say that the people, they're intimidating children at bus stops. Which is awful. Like when we were kids.
A cigarette hanging out of their mouth.
Yes.
What's up, nerds? Yes.
Exactly. Up? Is that a laptop?
Yeah.
I'd like to have a laptop. people are trapped and, you know, they can't go to the synagogue. Children are afraid to, like, wait for the buses. And the guy said the first thing you should do is you should not confront the turkeys to start with. As if anybody was starting shit with a turkey.
Yeah.
Like, these things were chasing this man. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, they're all hopped up on their testosterone.
It was so crazy looking. So then I looked a little further and I was like, well, what can I do, right, if I get attacked by a turkey? So I went to this wildlife help site. It said how to deal with aggressive wild turkeys in New Jersey, specifically. Because I think the New Jersey turkey
is,
yeah. Yeah, don't win.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like a Jersey Shore turkey.
Yeah, it's a little amped up. You know,
gym tan laundry turkey, yeah. GTL.
So it says here, you can frighten a bold turkey. And it says turkeys are becoming emboldened because apparently, you can confirm this for me, New Jersey resident. Are people feeding turkeys?
I'm sure they are. I think they congregate around spaces that do have a lot of food. Like, there's like some...
Like a mailman?
Like there's farmer's markets.
And
things like that. But not only that, there's other big, like, it's not a grocery store, but it's like...
Open markets.
It's not even an open market, but it's like a grocery store, but they do have open air stalls and things, but it's like, it's stationary. It's there year round. And it has a lot of fresh food.
Okay. Because we saw some areas like that where people were... We saw this other weird thing. It was like apple picking.
Yeah.
But it was New Jersey style. The apple's already picked. They pick you up in a hayride thing on the side of the road, and they take you to pick up the apples. Yeah. It was an apple pickup.
You didn't even get to pick it off the branch?
No, you don't have time for that.
Oh, God.
People were miserable, too. It was just one of those things where you're like, we got to take our kids.
Yeah.
And also, because it's New Jersey, it was very diverse. So I could tell, too, there were a lot of, like, recent immigrants who were like, we got to do this thing. And then the kids are like, no, we don't.
Yeah.
We don't have to bring grandma and her traditional, like, ensemble
this
thing.
Because we don't have to do it. Always looking for family-friendly things to do. We got to get the kids doing something so they run around and get their energy
there was a lot of food around the area, but there's definitely a mailman. I've never seen anybody run like that. I've never seen anyone chased by wild animals before.
I wish
before.
You filmed it.
I wish I had to. We couldn't understand what we were seeing.
Yeah.
We had to stop the car, and then we had to talk about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it was one of those things where I was like, was it turkeys? It was three turkeys. We did see them chasing. And then we did see him turn and go like, and start swatting at them.
Okay, so this is good to know. I got to go back with a stick.
So it says here, wild turkeys that become used to being fed and seeing people are likely to become aggressive towards people. these turkeys react to people and sometimes pets as they would a rival turkey. So they don't know we're not a turkey.
Yeah.
As far as Phil knows, I'm trying to get with Hetty as well.
Yeah. Oh.
You know, they don't know.
I better step away.
Yeah.
From Hetty.
And it says the best way to prevent turkeys from being too accustomed to humans is not to feed them. Too late in New Jersey. But if a turkey does come out of your yard and threaten you in some way and get bold, you should not run away. Because they will just give chase, as we saw with the mailman. Mm-hmm. You should chase them. It says spray them with a hose, so you got to be ready.
Oh, my God.
Sound an air horn, you know, just one you have in your purse. Setting off a firework, you know, the bottle rocket next to the air horn. It says also waving a broom, classic.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Yes.
Allow opening a large umbrella while facing them, like, yeah.
There you go. They're going to peck right through that.
And they said also allowing your dog free access to the area. So basically, turkeys will, if you run from them, they will give chase. But if you step to them, they will think twice about it.
Okay. Like, so they're not really going
to
turkey.
Yes, you have to confront them.
Can't run.
You cannot run. If you run, as we saw, and they are fast.
They're like bullies. Then you have to confront a bully.
This guy was hot footing it. Like he was not casually running. He was trying to get back to his vehicle, which we discovered was on the other side of the road, as fast as he possibly could before they set upon him. And they were on his heels. And it was where they did look like raptors.
Yes, they are. They look very much.
It was very Jurassic. Yeah.
Yes,
it was weird. I was not into it. It says, I don't know what the laws are in New Jersey, but you are allowed to apparently step to a turkey in a threatening manner if you feel the need to do
okay.
so.
Okay. Well,
I'll remember
that.
And also in New Jersey, you can call the State Wildlife Agency and they will capture or remove and release the turkeys. And if the turkey is really ornery, they will destroy it.
If it's ornery.
I will destroy you. I will destroy
what
you.
What do they do with it? Do they cook it up?
I don't know. I don't know if these are not the same kind of turkeys that you
cook up one mean turkey.
Well, that's what I say. Simply, New Jersey, put these turkeys on the menu.
Yeah.
That's all I say. At least carry a starter pistol if you are a mail carrier. Do something.
And you can make up like a whole theme around it at the restaurants. Like,
yeah.
You know, mean turkey with courtship sauce.
Exactly. Something like that. You know, I was really... If you go onto YouTube, there are a couple of videos of Short Hills. Is that the area we might have been
in? It might have been, yeah.
There's a video of a gentleman, again, hot-footing it from some turkeys. He is the local mailman. And we saw some mailmen later, and we wanted to be like, dude, be careful.
Yeah.
Like, just watch your back.
There's turkeys out there.
Yeah. New Jersey is dangerous.
Wild turkeys, yeah.
Wild turkeys.
They really are.
All right, what do you have?
I got the four R's.
Four R's. Rehearse, record, rental, repair.
209 West 40th Street. Hashtag Golf Life NYC.
Well, you know the whole thing on Thanksgiving Day, how stores are closed and they're open.
Yeah.
You know, and Black Friday is starting earlier and earlier.
Oh, I forgot like about Black Friday. I feel like the entire 2018 has been black so far.
Oh, it's been a...
It's been a doozy. Yeah. So what's happening for Thanksgiving? So who's open, who's closed?
They published an article saying 60 stores will be closed this year on Thanksgiving.
That's
saying
out of millions.
Yeah. Now, like the chains are not going to be so. They say 60 national retail stores will be closed. They said it's unnecessary to open their doors on Turkey Day because
they're online
of slowing in-store sales numbers and rising online sales.
Okay.
So in general, people are ordering online, and it's like the sale just might as well be online.
Yeah.
The website confirmed that each of the following 60 stores will be closed on Thanksgiving. And it's going to keep getting updated. But they also said some other stores that are staying open, like, that's right, stay closed, more for us.
Are people still going shopping on Thanksgiving Day? Like, physically shopping? I feel like a lot of people I know don't do physical in-store shopping anyway.
Yeah, but it's like...
If you are going to do it, that's the worst day.
Yeah, to go into the store. But and the sales are so disappointing. They really aren't sales.
They are. They're not very good.
There are jacked up prices that are brought down to normal prices.
Or they try to get you with the door buster. It's like, man, who doesn't have a flat screen TV at this point?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty sure I saw, like, people throwing them out last year.
Yeah, it's like about, you know, these are stores that are going to be closed, such as Ace Hardware and Acme Tools. Yeah, you should
Acme Tools is a real store?
Yeah.
Sounds like something from a Warner Brothers cartoon.
It is. Oh, yeah, there's the whole Acme line.
I'm going to go get some TNT.
You know, American Girl.
Okay.
AT&T, Barnes & Noble.
Oh, yeah, everyone don't even think about rushing to the AT&T store on Thanksgiving. Yeah. What the?
I know.
I got to pay my bill.
The Guitar Center, Dillard's, Crate & Barrel, Costco. Okay. Those kind of Hobby Lobby, who cares?
Yeah, who cares?
Home Depot.
I go to Joann Fabrics.
Yeah. PC Richards, Patagonia, Pure One, you know, Publix. All these stores are closing. And there's many, many more.
I saw REI had a big sign that were like, we're closing. I'm like, you close every day as far as I'm concerned down the Meatpacking District. I don't give an F. Why are you even here?
Who cares?
Yeah.
So it's like Nordstrom and Costco have shut their doors on Thanksgiving before, mm-hmm. and the Mall of America in Minnesota closed on Thanksgiving.
What are all the people going to do after Thanksgiving? Where are they going
to
walk?
They're going to have to talk to each other.
You know, I think we should take the New Jersey turkeys to the Mall of America and have them chase people.
We should just let them loose.
Yeah, let them loose.
Let them just
when they say they're going to relocate them, we're going to relocate them to your local mall.
Oh, yeah, and then the doors open on Black Friday.
Yeah, and the turkeys are there. It's a turkey trot of a different kind. I think we should also take these turkeys to Congress. Have them run.
There are people who enjoy coming out to shop, kicking off the holiday season, either late on Thanksgiving or very early in the morning on Black Friday.
But that's not what the holiday season is about.
I know.
Kicking off the holiday season by buying a big screen TV and some old towels at Walmart.
Yay. Christmas is here.
Meanwhile, trampling a greeter? No.
Yeah.
No. I hope things are a little bit more sober this year.
I hope so, too.
On Thanksgiving. On Black Friday. So I found a thing here about succotash.
And finally.
I know. Demystified, right? So when I was growing up, I hated succotash.
What is it? Okay. All I know is suffering succotash.
Yeah, suffering. It says here, why should you stop suffering and start feasting? Yeah. Sorry, suffering and feasting with no G on succotash. It's a simple yet hearty New England dish. Okay. We all love a New England style restaurant. We know that.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
What they're known for.
Yeah. They're known for great food.
We love our food up here.
Yes. It says, no meal in American history is more famous than the quote-unquote first Thanksgiving. I don't know why it's in quotes. Whatever.
The first Thanksgiving.
The first Thanksgiving, you know.
Allegedly.
The first Thanksgiving. In Plymouth, Massachusetts, despite its notoriety, most of the actual menu remains a mystery. Of course, because they didn't write it down. Why would they? They weren't like, this is the first of many. They were like, let's eat.
Yeah, it's just another day.
Yeah. So the Pilgrims and the Wampanoags certainly didn't have the buttery mashed potatoes or mile-high apple pie in 1621, but most historians agree that succotash was a likely candidate. So it says it's a simple, hearty, and those two words to me mean probably not very tasty, probably brown in color. And in flavor. A hearty concoction of corn and beans. Plus a little meat or fish. Succotash was a nourishing Native American staple. A thick stew that could and did feed a crowd. So when I was growing up, succotash was like all the shitty cheap vegetables.
Oh.
Out of a can.
Oh, okay.
So it would be like those cubed carrot pieces.
Oh, God. And the
peas.
And some corn.
And some beans. And just put that together.
Mushy peas.
It just came, I just want to reiterate here that it came directly from the can and went into a bowl of some kind and was like stirred together. It was not seasoned and it was said, hey, this is succotash Native American food. And I'm like, I highly doubt that they would have suffered this crap.
We never said the word succotash in our house. We've had that dish, but nobody called it succotash.
Well, what do you guys call it?
It's just mixed vegetables.
Cheap medley.
Yeah. That's what I call
it. All the basic vegetables. So it says, today, nearly all succotash recipes maintain the marriage of corns and beans, but the original tough field corn and native shell beans have largely been replaced by sweet corn and lima beans. These are two items that come from a can that I think should just remain in a can until Armageddon. Lima beans are a crime against legumes.
They are. There's something.
There's got to be a good way to do them. We don't know how to do that in America.
No.
And sometimes it's peas, too. A pea can go fuck itself.
Oh, really? I like a pea.
You like peas?
I like a
pea. How do you prepare them?
I do not care. I take a frozen pea package.
Okay.
And then just put it in a pot and heat it up.
And you eat them like that?
But no, there has to be like turkey and mashed potatoes on the plate. And then you kind of take a little bit together.
Okay. Because I was going to say, you can't eat it by itself. I thought you were just going to rock a bowl of peas.
No, you don't eat peas on its own.
How do you season it?
Salt.
And with the other things. When there's actual good food on the plate.
You mix it in with the other food and eat it. But there's something about it that it's, like, to me, I like it.
But do you have it any other way? Only with the Thanksgiving meal.
That's right.
If there's gravy, mashed potatoes, and a nice cut of meat, you'll have some peas. But otherwise, you're not trying to have it.
I always want a pea next to a mashed potato.
Okay. That makes sense.
And that's it. That's what I...
But otherwise. Let's talk about a lima bean.
Never.
See?
So they're always... Everybody picks them out.
They're terrible. I feel like, why did you do that to us? Anyway, so yes, succotash. It says here, some people... do adaptations with corned beef, salt pork, potatoes, tomatoes, okra, and peppers. That doesn't sound like succotash to me. That sounds like something that would actually be tasty.
Yeah, right.
They say also butter, fresh herbs, and sometimes even a splash of cream.
Ew.
Right? This is going into a different territory. So it's, I guess for Native Americans, succotash was more of a stew.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time the settlers got around to doing what they were doing to it, now it's become some stale-ass lima beans and some corn.
Yeah, just like the basic.
Yeah, just the basic basics.
White people.
Yeah, like, very, very basic, with very little seasoning. So yeah, that is. I don't know. That's succotash.
Yeah,
you don't have it any other time of year.
Yeah, it doesn't really get, because those are all like kind of harvest vegetables too.
But now after reading this and realizing what a prejudice I have against succotash, you know, maybe I will try a good succotash recipe.
Yeah.
See if there's a way that I can make it so that it's not offensive to my palate. Oh, what do you have?
Hey, You Know It is a free podcast, free of charge, FOC.
Free as a bird, free falling even. Well, it's free for listeners.
We put a lot of hard work into this.
Editing and online hosting is frankly thirsty work. It gets pretty dry in this studio. And you know we love a tasteful white wine. If you like our style, consider buying a gal a drink. We've added a PayPal donation button to heyyouknowit.com so you can show us some love with a one-time or recurring donation to cover a little something from the vine.
For $5, you'll be hooking us up with a happy hour glass of tasteful white wine, a 4-ounce pour. For a 10 spot, we can split a bottle of wine from the bodega across the street. For $15, we can kick it with a jug, because who are we kidding? For $25, you'll be making our dreams come true with a box of tasteful white wine concealed with a Mylar skin. Box of wine.
Well, just to further that, we're talking about like the first meal. Like, what did they have? Nobody wrote it down, so it's kind of guessing what they had. Let's see.
I'm guessing they didn't have the colonists. Cranberry comes out of the can in one piece.
They didn't have the cranberry gelatinous log that comes out.
Sadly.
It's like educated guesses, really, on what they might have had. There's archaeological remains, such as pollen samples, that might clue them in as well around the area.
Cool.
So that's kind of what they're looking at. But there's, besides waterfowl, there are a great store of wild turkeys, which you know are no joke.
Yeah.
But they really were introduced later on. So it was more...
the wild turkeys? One thing about wild turkeys, I'd say when I was doing my riflery, like my hunting training years ago, they said if you're going to hunt turkeys, you have to hit them in the neck or in the face. Because if you hit them in the body, you just make them mad.
Yeah.
Like they don't care. They looked at it like, what?
No.
Okay.
Okay, so they basically, they killed small birds. They shot small birds, like just like fowl. There's maybe a swan, passenger pigeon, that kind of thing.
I didn't know people ate swans.
Well, they did. I'm not going to.
It doesn't seem like a tasty bird to
me. No, it doesn't.
It seemed like it would have a lot of attitude, and that attitude would get right into the meat.
Yeah.
Right. And they'd be like, go ahead, enjoy.
Yeah.
I hope you choke.
Exactly. I'm going to die.
Yeah. Oh, that was another thing I saw in New Jersey. I saw some fake swans.
Oh,
in a pond.
Oh, fake ones?
Yeah.
Oh, the decoy ones, right.
For whom?
They're not for decoration. They're to keep away other...
other fowl?
Other fowl.
Okay, well, they need to see something about a turkey, because they didn't seem to give an F, because that's near where we saw the turkeys.
Yeah.
They didn't care.
Yeah, they have
They're probably like, they put those pieces of plastic out there. We humped them. I just have had it with turkeys after seeing them chase... mailman.
That's hilarious. I really wish you caught it on video.
Oh, I have to.
I totally believe it. I've been hearing the turkey stories forever.
I felt so bad for that guy.
But, you know, it's also, how did they cook all of this? Because, you know, we have our ovens, we have our stovetops and everything. They said that the small birds were often spit roasted while larger birds were boiled.
Oh, God.
And then get this.
Why would you do that?
That or some of
the
some,
ancient Greeks and Romans made incredible feasts. These dudes couldn't get it together besides to put it in a pot.
Yeah, and they were like, some of them even boiled the birds first, then roasted them to finish it off, or roasted them first, then boiled them to
I
make
bet
like
you
a
when the Native
soup.
Americans showed up, they were like, are you kidding me? They're like, just smile and eat.
They said,
just smile
just
and eat. Yeah. Give them the venison, you know.
Early roasting gives them a nice flavor and sort of caramelizes them on the outside and makes the broth darker. I think that sounds
That
nasty.
Doesn't sound good at all.
Yeah, and sometimes they'd stuff them, but not with bread.
With what?
And like onions and herbs.
Did they not know how to cook before they arrived here? I'm
and
confused.
Sometimes, some of them even put like shelled chestnuts in there.
Okay, all right. For some flavor.
Yeah. So it's like... But that's what was there. There was venison.
Okay. Thank goodness.
There was deer. There's shellfish. Because the Wampanoag probably ate eels and shellfish.
Okay. I'm like sure lobsters, they had a lot of oysters and stuff like that.
Clams.
All
oysters, of that.
Yeah.
Mussels. So, and there's
like
dried
a good
fish.
Meal.
Yeah. Right. There was like
not what the Europeans were doing.
And then
what the Native Americans had going on.
I know.
Can you imagine showing up with all this? They're like, we bought our best. And they're like, just this.
Yeah.
A boiled swan. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? Just smile and eat.
We were taught in school, the Indian showed, or Native Americans showed the colonists how to plant native crops. Mm-hmm. And
how not to boil a swan, ostensibly. I'm sorry.
Later
they probably went home hungry. They probably had to have a second Thanksgiving. That was the first Thanksgiving. The second Thanksgiving, when Native Americans went back and had some real damn food in their camp.
And potatoes and sweet potatoes weren't there. They were introduced much later.
Okay.
White potatoes originated in South America and sweet potatoes from the Caribbean. They haven't even come to North America
What do they
yet.
Have?
There's no cranberry sauce.
We just buttered a rock. Because we're uptight.
They have like pumpkin and garlic and turnips and things.
Okay. It's not bad.
Yeah.
You could do a lot with a turnip.
Yeah. So they really, there was no cranberry sauce. It would be another 50 years before the Englishmen wrote about boiling cranberries and sugar into a sauce to eat with meat.
Okay. Another 50 years would go by before a side.
Ha ha ha. If there was beer, there was only a couple of gallons for 150 people for 3 days.
Again, so, Native Americans are probably like, are you kidding me?
Yeah,
we would have had to bring our own beer up in here?
So they think that they really just drank water. There was nothing
how
else.
How embarrassing.
No booze at Thanksgiving.
Yes, no booze. I wonder how the conversation went then. Just a bunch of Native Americans looking at them like... How much longer do we have to sit here and try to gum this boiled swan and something they're calling gravy? Just looks like dirty water.
We have to wait another 50 years for a sweet potato
to get here. Yes, the second Thanksgiving. We'll eat again later.
Yeah.
Don't worry. So speaking of early food, an article I found in Science News, 3,500-year-old pumpkin spice.
What?
Archaeologists find the use of nutmeg as a food. So way back before basic was basic.
Okay.
So an archaeological site in Pulau A, a small island in the Banda Islands in Indonesia, they found nutmeg residue on a ceramic shard from a pot.
What?
And it's estimated to be 3,500 years old. It's estimated to be 3,500 years old, about 2,000 years older than the previous known use of nutmeg.
They also found a turtleneck sweater and Ugg boots right next to it.
Yes, they did. They were immediately bored by what they found. So they did this excavation in 2017 and 2007 and 2009. It's just getting some shine now.
Oh, God.
So these guys had to wait all this time to be like, we found some nutmeg on a shard. So the archaeological site was occupied from 2300 to 3500 years ago. They found animal bones, earthenware pottery, stone tools, and then post molds for building housing. And the variety of artifacts there kind of show them how people use what they had in the area. And I guess nutmeg was one of the spices that they used. It also shows that people were making pottery and there was a shift in the diet, blah, blah, blah. So the author suggests, the study suggested the island was a place that wasn't completely inhabited, but was a place people visited from time to time. So maybe they use it as a base or something like that. And I guess while they were there, they decided to knock back with a latte. it says, as for the nutmeg, understanding its earliest origins of human use helped connect the dots to international trade. By the 14th century and possibly earlier, long-distance traders were traveling to Banda to obtain the nutmeg. Valuable spice brought the Banda Islands international renown during the early modern era. So I didn't know that that's where nutmeg came from.
I didn't know that either.
But I know that spice has been, unfortunately, the demise of many Eastern communities.
Yeah.
When people find out how tasty it is and decide to just take over the entire country.
Yeah, like, yeah, you got those spices.
Yeah. So nutmeg, people might have been making pumpkin spice 3,500 years ago.
And they were probably, yes, again, boring as...
Very boring.
AF.
Yeah. I can't imagine.
What they talk about, they were like,
the weather.
The shape of the shard is is good for picking up food.
Yeah. Great.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they found nutmeg residue. I found that fascinating.
That's interesting.
That it stuck around for all the time. That pot, whoever was supposed to be washing up.
Didn't.
Clearly didn't do a good job. 3,500 years later, nutmeg. And there we have it. All right, what do you have?
I have just this little article about Thomas Jefferson and how he hated Thanksgiving.
Really?
He was against it.
he wasn't trying to have it.
He was not into it at all. He refused to endorse the tradition.
Okay.
Ever since Jefferson first declined to mark
the
day. Was
he asked? He asked. They were like, please, we need your signature on this. Like, no. Give thanks to this, mofos.
In Jefferson's time, Thanksgiving as a national holiday didn't exist at all. The formal observance of Thanksgiving Day only began in 1863 when Lincoln proclaimed the holiday in response to the horrors of Civil War.
Oh, that's right.
By then, the tradition of giving thanks as a nation had been in place since 1777, but Congress declared it a national day of Thanksgiving after America's victory at the Battle of Saratoga.
Okay.
So it had been in place,
so
but
be
it wasn't
thankful
official.
For that. So these are responses to aggression.
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Which
yes.
is unfortunate.
Yeah. And afterward, presidents would proclaim periodic days of fasting, prayer, and expressing gratitude.
Fasting in America?
Yeah,
good luck. You like them to get burnt down.
But Jefferson, I know, Jefferson first declined to mark the day in 1801.
Okay. That was the first time he was like, I said no.
Yeah.
Good day.
Rumors swirl that the third president despised the event, but it was more complicated than that. For Jefferson, supporting Thanksgiving
it was
meant-
personal. I'm not giving thanks for shit. I made all this myself. You need to thank me for Jefferson Day. Jefferson's giving.
Thanksgiving meant supporting state-sponsored religion, and it was his aversion to mixing church and state that earned him a reputation as America's only anti-Thanksgiving president.
Oh, so it's not really anti-Thanksgiving.
Because everyone had a fast, like there was prayer involved and all
yeah,
this kind
yeah,
of
yeah, I
you
get
know,
it.
Involved.
Even
in the
back
whole
thing. Then, yeah. he had a little, the horse sense to know that there should be separation.
Right.
I will not give thanks.
Yes. let's see. When he became president, he stopped declaring the holiday that George Washington and John Adams had so enthusiastically supported.
Was he like, what holiday?
Yeah, and he was about to tell
I'll be
them,
working.
Yeah.
You'll find me at my desk.
You'll find me at BJ's Wholesale. I'm
yeah.
shopping that day.
Yeah, if you wish to thank me, do so. But it's not a mandate.
He really wanted to tell the nation why in 1802, but then he really
did they stop
didn't.
Him? Don't say it, man.
Don't talk about
Don't say
church
it.
And state.
Yeah.
After his inauguration, a Baptist group in Connecticut
wrote
a letter to Jefferson congratulating him on his election and expressing concern about the state's constitution, which didn't specifically provide for religious liberty.
Did he send back a picture of his ass? Do you know what I mean? Like, what would have been the delete?
Baptists at that time had been persecuted in the colonies due to their emotional religious ceremonies.
Okay. Emotional, is that what it says?
Yeah.
Their emotional religious ceremonies.
And their decision to baptize adults instead of children.
Okay.
And their belief in the separation of church and state. So this is a different kind of, like, Baptist concern.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They wanted to be sure they were protected under Jefferson's presidency. Mm-hmm. And he saw this as an opportunity to explain his views on state-sponsored religion.
Look at here, Baptist. You're Baptist, right? Anyway, let me proceed.
He said, I have long wished to find an occasion to say why I do not proclaim fasting and thanksgiving as my predecessors did.
Finally. I've been opposing this shit since way back.
Yeah, yeah. At the time.
Before it was fashionable, I was saying no.
Then Jefferson's political enemies, the Federalists, loved to use his stance on the separation of church and state as a political cudgel, convincing Americans that he was an atheist who was making America less godly.
Really? These are some of the worst people, the Federalists. If you guys don't know about them, do a little research on them. They might be Satan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
They reek of sulfur. Sorry, little American history. Already, they're twisting words then, as they twist words now.
Yeah, so that was like, that's why he was toying on telling the nation why and talking about being anti-blending church and state when the Federalists are like, you're ungodly.
Yeah. And they're so godly. Well, if you look through the annals of Federalist history, everything they've done is exactly what Jesus would have done, 100%.
Yes. In an early draft of a letter, Jefferson faced the Federalist accusations head-on, explaining that he considered declaring fasts or days of thanksgiving to be expressions of religion, and he opposed them mm-hmm. because they were remnants of Britain's reign over American colonies.
Right on.
Yes. But then Levi Lincoln warned him that his words might be construed as criticism of New England.
Okay.
Where the Feast of Thanksgiving had become a beloved tradition.
Good grief. After Everyone's careful, so touchy.
I know. After careful consideration, Jefferson decided to
Keep
drop...
In mind, these are all just random, like, groups of white people at this point. So. Yeah. So all, different from one
all
another.
All dudes, by the way.
Yeah, all right? dudes. All Christians.
Yes. His public reply to the Danbury Baptist didn't include a comment on public celebrations of Thanksgiving. Rather, Jefferson told them he believed that a wall of separation between church and state. So he just kind of was like, all right.
I always thought it was when I was growing up, because it seemed like they were trying to always conflate Thanksgiving, which I always just thought of like as a federal holiday, mm-hmm. with something religious. Mm-hmm. When I knew that there was nothing in our religion about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, there is nothing.
Obviously, because our religion predated that. But the idea that they were like, okay, who are we giving thanks to? And for why?
Yes, I know. So Jefferson paid up the political price for the edit, withholding from the public the rationale for his policy. Since the public didn't know the reasoning behind his lack of Thanksgiving proclamations, he remained vulnerable to Federalist attacks that accused him of godlessness.
Wow.
And, in fact, Jefferson had once declared a Thanksgiving of his own in 1779.
I got my own Thanksgiving.
Yeah. He declared a day of Thanksgiving in prayer. And he explained he'd been willing to do so as a governor, but not as president.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I mean, look, if you want to do your prayer, like, do it.
Yeah, but he said he couldn't really endorse the holiday without running afoul of the First Amendment.
I get it, yeah. That makes sense.
And he considered the days of Thanksgiving the responsibility of the states and not the Federalist government.
Yeah, so, that's then another problem. Look, I just say, like, if you want to give thanks, give it. If you don't want to, don't.
Yeah, so that's... American citizens never really got the chance to appreciate his principled stance on the holiday. It is very principled.
That is interesting, yeah. I'm a little surprised by that.
Yeah.
It's hard to accept that politicians have principles. and they're willing to actually stick by them, and that their principles are somewhat in line with ideas around fairness and, you know, choice. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so he was known as the Turkey Day Grinch.
Okay.
Until his successor, James Madison, resuscitated it in 1815.
I mean, I've talked to some of my friends about, because there's so many holidays now, because we're becoming multicultural. I wish we could just get some floating days. That mm-hmm. each person could get, like, 3 to 5 personal days a year.
Yeah.
That you don't have to explain what they're for, right? Whatever your celebration is, whether it's religious, non-religious, whatever, mm-hmm, you just need a day. And just take them.
Just take it
just
on.
Just take them.
Take it off, baby.
Yeah, take it off. If you want to do it on Thanksgiving, do it on Thanksgiving. Yeah. If you don't want to do it on Thanksgiving, don't do it. Yeah. I personally would like to celebrate Diwali. It looks cool.
Diwali.
Diwali. Yeah,
oh, okay.
I have no connection to it, but I'd like to take the day.
Yeah, you know,
go figure it out. Why not?
Yeah.
Could be cool.
Go and get explore other
festival of lights,
other religions and holidays.
Yeah,
and things.
On a free holiday.
You're listening to Hey You Know It with Jaquetta Sotmari and
Katie Kazmir.
We're telling you how it is and how it should be.
So, around the holidays, as the holiday season starts getting going, you may be in a situation where you may have to give a toast.
Oh,
so I thought I'd do a little research. Have you ever done a toast before?
You mean at a dinner table?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it says here how to toast, who toasts, and when. So it says, toasting to love, friendship, health, wealth, and happiness, or giving thanks in this case, have been practiced at almost every culture from the beginning of recorded history. Mm-hmm. What a blanket statement. Yeah. I wonder if there's one culture that's like, don't even.
Yeah.
Just sit down, have the meal.
Just start it. And dig in.
Yeah. It says, who toasts and when. Traditionally, the host or hostess offers the first toast of the evening. Mm-hmm. Around the table with friends, however, a guest can propose the first toast and often does as a way to thank the host. So if it's informal, anybody can go for it. Mm-hmm. But if it's formal, don't you dare toast before the host toasts. The host's toasts first rule still does apply at receptions and larger functions.
Host toasts.
It says the host's toasts first. Make sure all glasses are filled before toasting. I mean, this is like basic.
That's 101.
Yeah. The glasses don't have to have champagne or wine. Non-drinkers may toast with water, juice, or a soft drink. Fine.
Good.
Hardly a toast. Getting the crowd's attention. It says, do not bang on a glass with a utensil.
Oh, come on. That's fun.
Every time I've been at a wedding or some event and someone has been clinking the glass, I'm always hoping it'll just break.
I know.
And then the wine will just spill out.
And
they'll be standing there just holding a stem and be forced to go on.
Yeah.
Nothing happened.
It says, ignore this.
Stand and raise your glass. It depends on where you are. Yeah. At some places, they're like, what's Phil doing?
Yeah. Sometimes they're already standing.
Yeah. It says sit or stand. When it comes, there are rules. When it comes to sitting or standing, do what comes naturally. However, if you're making the toast over pre-dinner drinks in the living room, stand.
Oh, okay.
All right. At the dinner table, if the group is small, so they're saying like six people, eight people. You may stay seated, but if there are more than a dozen people, get up. Get up on your feet. Although the host often stands during a toast, everyone else, including the person being toasted, so this is if you're thanking someone in particular, remains seated. The exception is when the toaster says, everyone please rise.
Okay.
Right? And drink too, or stand and raise your glasses. The guests respond by taking a sip. Do not chug it.
Do not chug it.
Save enough of the beverage for any toasts that follow.
Oh, God. Yeah, that's right. Because somebody else always has to get on. They need the attention.
I just had a shot of wine.
Yeah.
I need another one. On ceremonial occasions, there's usually a toastmaster or the chairperson of the committee will take charge, sandwiching toasts like between like different courses of the meal. So I have never been to an event when there's been a lot of toasts. And when I have had my own events, people are going to say, keep that shit to a min.
Yeah, no kidding.
90 seconds.
Yeah, don't go on and
Don't go on and on, right? Because people want to get back to their meal and what they were talking about.
I had a boyfriend who had to give the best man's toast at a wedding.
Oh, no.
His brother's wedding.
And these are always notorious.
Like, I was like, did you write it down? He's like, I'm going to wing it.
Why?
And I was like, I'm going to wing it.
This is a very important day.
Yeah.
You're standing up in front of everyone.
Yeah. And then.
And you're going to wing it?
He didn't factor that he was standing up in front of anyone and everyone and got a little nervous and didn't have anything to say.
Classy.
And was like,
Yeah.
It's like, I told you.
Did someone just yell, huzzah? And then everyone just goes ahead with it and starts drinking.
Told you to write it.
Oh, man. At least put something down. Yeah. It says, when to toast. During a meal, the first toast comes at the very beginning. Make it quick, people. The plates are in front of people.
Yeah, right?
They want to eat. Let it go.
Get going.
First toast offered by the host to welcome guests. Toast offered by others start during the dessert course. I didn't know that.
What? I am shocked. Did you see my face?
Yeah. Toasting isn't confined to a meal. So you can do a spontaneous toast whenever someone sees it. To be appropriate.
Not while I'm eating.
Replying to a toast. I thought this was interesting that someone had to be told this. When toasted, the toastee does not stand, nor does she drink to herself.
What?
Doesn't so if we're saying to Katie, you and it says your job as the toastie is to sit there and smile graciously and then maybe manage a thank you.
Okay.
But you may not stand.
That's true.
Yeah, and raise your glass to yourself.
Okay.
Just don't do it.
I want to toast myself.
And someone's like, you know, to Jaquetta, I'd be like, yeah.
That's me.
That's me. Ah! Okay. It says, make sure to keep your toes short and on point. Keep it brief.
Yeah, no kidding. Back when I was a child.
I was born in a small town in rural Maryland.
The sun was shining that day.
Yes. My mother, however,
felt not the darkness. So
much. It says you get do personal remarks. You can reminisce, praise a relevant story or joke. A touch of humor is rarely out of place. And then they have things for how to do a spur of the moment toast. Cheers to your health. To stand. God bless him. To stand. A terrific guy and friends to us all. To stand. Like, you have to really be told how to do a spontaneous toast. What's wrong with you?
There are so
many
things.
I want to be spontaneous, but I have to have a plan. You know?
Just think about how people treat each other in society. Like, think about how, like, all the stories of people that go out on dates to meet a guy.
To stand.
They don't even know what to say or do or act. Like, one guy met his date for the first time. They met on whatever site.
Okay.
And he's like, your eyes are really red. Are you stoned? That was his opening.
Check, please. That's another nurse. I need a full bottle of wine.
You know, so I'm just saying people don't even know what to
do. I bet that woman was glad she had her diaphragm in because that definitely was going to be a good evening for her.
Yeah, right.
Good Lord. So what do you have? Is this some advice?
Advice.
All right,
yes.
Thanksgiving advice. I always give thanks to this advice.
Yes, thank
advance.
You to this advice. So this is advice on advice where we give advice on advice that is unqualified and it stinks.
Yeah, and we seek to give our advice on that to improve it, hence advice on advice.
That's right. So here we go.
Okay.
This is in honor of the holiday.
Okay. Oh, dear.
Dear Helena.
Who's Helena?
I know, right? I don't know.
This is a new one. Okay. Dear Helena.
Last year, I went to my brother's place for Thanksgiving. He took care of the turkey and his guests supplied all of the other dishes.
Mm-hmm.
There was way too much food. But my brother never asked if anyone wanted to take any of it home.
Okay.
And I was annoyed, as I love turkey sandwiches.
I think he does, too.
Yeah.
That's why he's not trying to give up the turkey.
At Thanksgiving dinner, who should get the leftovers? And if the hosts don't offer the leftovers, is it okay to ask for them? Signed, Turkey Grabber.
No. It is not. First of all, it is customary, I think, especially for something like a Thanksgiving or Christmas, because you have your family and friends there. To take a plate, like prepare a plate for people to go.
Yeah.
Like everybody does that.
Everybody does.
But
that,
in order to do that, you have to have those plates to go.
Yeah.
You have to have that Tupperware. You have to have everything ready. And as a good host, this is something that I try to do throughout the month. So if we finish one thing, I kind of put it to the side, do a little bit of packaging, you know, go into the next thing. So that if someone needs to leave early, they're ready to go.
Yeah.
And in New York, Chinese food containers are perfect for that.
Oh.
Like the square ones, round ones that are flat. And you can get them the hell out of your house.
Yeah.
Those containers. Because who wants those things?
Oh, I thought you meant the guests.
No. I meant the containers. They're bad enough as it is.
I was like,
trying to be environmentally friendly.
I'll leave earlier next time, Jaquetta.
Get the hell out. You take these Chinese food containers with you. However, if you haven't prepared that, because traditionally when you send someone out of your house with an actual plate, and you never see that plate again.
Yeah.
And I know you people, it's probably the sister is one of these people. Or he wasn't prepared for it, then no, there's no way you're going to get anything to go.
I know.
They might have forgotten.
But the thing is, this guy's not offering. Do you just go in there and help yourself? Do you bring your own Tupperware?
I mean, no.
B-Y-O-T?
I dare someone to show up at my house with a bunch of Chinese food containers and just put them on the table. And instead of, they make a plate for themselves, but they also make a plate to go. Whatever, I might be like, fine, fuck it. All right, so let's see what Helena says.
Okay. Yeah, but are you supposed to, like, offer leftovers?
You should, yes.
You should, yeah.
But I'm
saying... If you don't...
If you haven't thought about that ahead of time, if you... Because first of all, too, he's only doing the turkey. He doesn't know what other people are bringing.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. So, dear Turkey Grabber, leftovers...
Turkey Grabber. Oh, she called herself turkey grabber. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Leftovers are part of the joy of Thanksgiving, and it is very wrong for one person to keep them all, even if he killed the turkey himself and got up at dawn to cook it.
Okay.
That's a bit dramatic.
So unless you've been chased by that turkey through the streets of New Jersey.
And you went mano a mano.
Yes.
And brought that turkey
and brought
home,
it home
and was the victor. Everyone who wants to should take some food home, especially if you split the cost or labor. There isn't enough for everybody. If there isn't enough for everybody, dish it out according to the two laws of leftovers. Here are the two laws.
Okay, every man for himself and every man for himself.
Feed the charity cases. Thanksgiving is a time of generosity, so give the leftovers to those who need them most, whether it's your aging aunt who lives on canned soup.
Uh-huh. Huh?
Or your lonely bachelor friend who doesn't cook.
Okay.
Hang on.
Really?
If there are homeless people in your neighborhood, pack up the food nicely and offer it to them. First, ask them if they want it, though, as it is patronizing just to dump it on their blanket.
Well,
couple of things.
Okay. The first thing I was going to say before I thought about the leftovers is like, yeah, maybe he's going to donate all that food to a shelter or take it somewhere.
Okay, yeah, that could happen, but I don't see too many people getting up out of their cozy homes on Thanksgiving to go and drop off food.
No.
It's not really going to happen.
No, those people are probably already volunteering at kitchens and doing stuff.
They already
stuff.
Did. They the already thing, did something. So these people are ready to have fresh food, and they're probably a little more respectful than going, here's my leftovers, let's bring them to the thing. They're giving them really good food for the Thanksgiving.
Usually for Thanksgiving, yeah.
Now your aging aunt who lives on soup. Guess what? If you have an aunt living on soup and you're like, well, maybe this time bring her food.
Yeah! Like, what the hell is wrong with
you? What's wrong with you?
You should bring her food on the regular.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, why are you like, you know what? This Thanksgiving, no soup for you.
Yeah.
You are going to dine at my house and then for the next 3 days, you're going to have not soup.
Yeah, you're going to have solids.
Yeah.
How do you like that, aunt?
Shine up those dentures. They're going to be used.
Aunt Penny.
Aunt Penny, yes.
And then, okay, so the lonely bachelor friend who doesn't cook, because who gives a shit?
Yes!
If he doesn't cook, because he's a lazy fuck that never learns how to
cook. The lonely bachelor, that's not a charity case.
That's not a charity case. He's probably, first of all, he's a guy, he's making lots of money.
Yeah, or if he's not, he's one person.
And he's one person, he can eat whatever he wants.
You think this is his only Thanksgiving? He's probably going to another place after this.
With a little sad face. I'm a lonely bachelor who doesn't cook.
Who can't cook.
Oh, God, no. That is not a charity case.
I would say give this to people who have children.
Yeah.
And who might not want to cook tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some sandwiches for them or, you know, people who are just overworked and tired.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know, keep it for yourself.
Yeah. Exactly.
If you haven't thought about it, that's
not a charity case.
That's not a charity case.
The aunt who has no money.
Yes.
Versus the lonely bachelor.
Versus the lonely bachelor.
Not the same.
Yeah. And the homeless person who may or may not want your leftover.
Yeah.
Not everybody eats cranberry.
That's right.
Some succotash. Don't take that to anybody.
And nobody gives leftovers to homeless people. They buy them food, actual food.
I think most people do buy them food. But around Thanksgiving, if you want to do something about both homelessness or hunger, go to an organization.
Yeah.
And do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't be driving around the suburbs of New Jersey
with your Chinese food containers.
Yeah, trying to find a homeless person.
Is that someone sitting on a blanket?
Yeah, here.
Okay, so if there's no charity cases, as they described, reward the deserving.
Who's that?
Yeah, there are reward people according to how they contributed.
Reward them?
If you peeled 5 pounds of potatoes, you deserve that extra pie. If you kept the kids amused or babysat an annoying relative, you get a share too.
When is all this going
to
happen?
I know. When do you so you have to work for the leftovers now?
I'm like, you know what, Katie? I was watching you during this meal. You didn't do shit.
Yeah. If you went into a turkey coma while other people did the dishes, you go home empty-handed. Everyone's watching you.
Yeah.
This is now like Survivor Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
It's like, how much can you do to
when
get
people
this
get always
container?
Like, fuck, all I got was a muffin?
Yeah.
I worked my ass off.
Oh, no.
Entertaining those kids.
You only had a baby.
Badass kids. Yeah, you only had a baby.
You're only holding a sleeping baby. You get a muffin.
Yeah, a muffin.
So you can ask for leftovers if the host doesn't offer them? No. At a cocktail party on scene leftover liquor, would you ask the host, can I take home the vodka that's left in the bottle?
Are you, excuse me? That's not a real question, is it? I wish somebody would try to take a half a bottle of liquor from my party. I would make them drink that liquor right then and there on the spot. I'm like, you want to take it in your stomach. Like when you're getting on the plane and they're like, you can't bring that on. You just have to chug it. Yeah. That's how it is in my house. You know, they get a half a bottle of anything. Good Lord.
So you can never ask a host, can I have the leftovers?
You're going to roll with open container?
Yeah. Hello.
In New Jersey?
Asking for food that the host is, that a host or another guest has made is like asking them to give you a gift. And asking for the remains of a dish that you brought is like asking for a gift back.
You do not take your dish back.
No. No.
What? That's why they, okay, the other thing too is, and I hate to use the term pro tip, but this is a pro tip. If you want to take something in real crockery of some kind, go out and buy something that's inexpensive, bake it or cook it in that, and then leave that
thing there.
Leave it. Because I've had that happen to me at a couple, like when we've had parties at our house, people have brought over some nice plates. And I'm like, do you want the plates back? They're like, no.
Mm-mm.
We have a bunch of these plates at home, and when we bring people a cake or something, this is it.
And then, don't get it back.
Now I have two nice plates from those people, and I didn't have to worry about getting it back to them.
People used to do that when they'd go to their own like neighbor's house,
and
then they could get the dish the next day.
Yeah, but if you're going out of your way, whatever it is, whatever vessel you bring the food in, be prepared to donate that, and it could be cool. It could be a part of the gift too.
Yeah,
like if you have a nice like plate or a pan or something, like here you go.
Right. So, hey, everybody, don't
be turkey grabber.
Don't be a turkey grabber.
So I have something here I just wanted to maybe close out with. I would be remiss if we didn't do anything that was holiday related and I didn't mention the Hallmark Channel.
So there's
a couple of things I want to bring up. There's a Hallmark Channel DVD. Love at the Thanksgiving Day Parade. It is $14.99. It is out of stock online, but apparently you can find it at stores. As Chicago gears up for its annual Thanksgiving Day Parade, Emily Jones, an eager parade coordinator, is shocked when Henry Williams, a wealthy new development consultant. You can just see him with a mustache.
Yeah, with the wax at the end,
You know, I can't pay the rent, that kind of thing. He's brought in to analyze the parade's finances. Really? It's kind of an Enron parade situation.
We need
to look at where the money's going this parade.
The holidays are starting.
Yes.
Everyone's a fluster.
What do we need?
Yeah. An accountant.
We need an accountant.
Yeah.
And so he's a wealthy new development consultant.
Oh, God.
Faced with the challenge of teaching him that the parade means so much more to her than dollar signs, she suddenly finds herself reluctantly falling in love with him. Starring Autumn Reeser and Antonio Cupo, 90 minutes running time.
Reluctantly falling in love.
With a new, hot, wealthy development consultant.
Digging at her heels.
Yeah, who could
dragged along on this love adventure.
Looking through her finances.
Yeah.
Here's another one. The Thanksgiving House, it's called.
Okay.
When a Boston lawyer, Mary Ross, I don't know what these people's names, you know when you're writing a screenplay or a play, you try to come up with like fun, interesting name? Mary Ross.
Mary Ross.
Yeah. Oh. When a Boston lawyer, Mary Ross, inherits a house in Plymouth from her late aunt, she has no idea she may have inherited... She may have inherited a historic treasure.
Oh.
This isn't the Mystery Channel. This is
okay.
Mary's initial desire to sell the house is supported by her slick boyfriend, Rick. Slick Rick, by the way. Played by one Adam Kaufman. But she is shocked to discover that local historian Everett Mather...
Who has no money.
Mather. Has evidence that her house...
Is haunted?
No.
Oh, okay.
Is located on the site of the first Thanksgiving.
Somehow,
I don't know. With the house turning into an unexpected tourist attraction, putting Mary in the media spotlight at the prying, unscrupulous gossip blogger, Ashley Mulligan.
I call for a do-over.
Everett tries to prove his theory, and Mary tries to prove anything that will keep the house in her hands. Suddenly,
oh my God.
Mary clings to the house as an artifact of her own history. Before her happy childhood memories were tarnished by her father's abandonment.
Oh, God.
So we have an attorney with abandonment issues who's just inherited this gigantic house and is single.
Oh.
Ultimately, Mary must decide if it's more important to preserve the house's historic ties or make it the site of many happy Thanksgivings to come? What will she choose?
Well, she needs to make it like a bed and breakfast, but only serving Thanksgiving food at every meal.
I think that's a wonderful idea.
Breakfast,
lunch and dinner, Thanksgiving. All Thanksgiving. So it could be a Thanksgiving. It's called the Thanksgiving House. I would turn it into the Thanksgiving House. B&B.
Yeah, and everybody, you, whenever you show up at the table, you have to dress either as a Native American or
or a colonist.
A colonist.
What about Slick Rick? What's missing from this story, this Hallmark TV original, is the romance.
Yeah.
What about Rick and Everett? Is there a fight? Do they shove each other?
They should. They should have a fight in the street.
You know, over Mary Ross?
Like Massachusetts style.
Yeah, where they just push each other.
Yeah.
So, however you guys are celebrating your Thanksgiving, whether you're doing it Jefferson style.
Yeah. Or, yes, Thomas Jefferson, like the No Way camp.
The No Way, or if you're just doing a regular old Thanksgiving.
Where you're taking home food that nobody offered you.
Yes, if you're a turkey grabber. Enjoy your Thanksgiving.
And watch out for the turkeys that are on their feet, on their hooves.
Yeah, and they're coming after you.
The talent.
All my friends are dead, and my dad is too, but I'm still alive, and I am here with you. Though I'm drenched in blood and a sordid gore, there is still so much I am thankful for. If I squint my eyes...
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content.
As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows.
Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise, and let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks.
Turkey hacked to death,
and my doggy Flash is peeing on the floor.
I see Johnny looking handsome as I whisper in his ear, thanks to you I'm not a virgin anymore.
And we are thankful, yes we're thankful that you spent your hard-earned dough. We're so
I couldn't believe that. It was so comic the way they were running, and then we realized it wasn't funny.
Yeah.
Because they were chasing the mail carrier.
Yeah, they're coming to get you. This is a whole new world we're living in now. The turkeys are no longer happy to be on the table.
Is that The Happening? Is this how it starts?
This is The Happening. This is
but
something.
It's just, see, the movie was wrong because they had all kinds of animals. It's just turkeys.
It's just turkeys.
The real happening is just turkeys.
Yep.